We have to be in touch with our
with our feminine sides.
We are modern. We are modern guys. Welcome, everybody. This is Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, episode 37. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Reza. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
I must say, I like your shirt.
Oh, thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you. This is my Hawaiian shirt.
I like it very much.
It's got lots of flowers on it. So, if you're a new listener, thank you very much for tuning in. You've made a good choice, let us assure you. If you're an old listener, well, I don't mean old as in years. I mean a regular listener. Thank you very much for sticking with us. You can find more of our podcasts. We're on episode 37 now. If you want to find the previous 36, go to inglespodcast.com. And you can also study English free at mansioningles.com. Now, episode 37. Shall we start with a little bit of feedback?
Yep, why not? In this episode, apart from the feedback, we're going to speak about probability adverbs in a few minutes, like certain, certainly, maybe, perhaps, etc. We have vocabulary in the home, housework, and some pronunciation for you also. So let's start with the feedback, and this week it's from Esperanza, who says, as a comment on the last show, "You are so cool."
Oh, thanks.
Especially with that shirt. I think you're looking very cool, Reza. "I do not suppose I've truly seen something like this before, and probably listened to, I hope. So good to find another person with a few unique thoughts on this topic. Really, many thanks for starting this up. This website is something that's needed on the web. Some people with some originality." Well, that's a lovely compliment, isn't it? Thank you very, very much, Esperanza.
You're flattering us.
You are. Okay, Reza, let's hand it over to you for this episode's grammar spot.
So, probability, or more specifically, adverbs of probability. What are we talking about? Well, words like certainly, definitely, maybe, possibly, clearly, obviously, perhaps, probably. You probably noticed, that most of those adverbs ended in ly. Possibly, probably, but not all of them.
Most adverbs do, don't they?
Most do.
Not all.
But not all.
But most.
We also had maybe, and we had perhaps. They're also adverbs, but they don't end in ly. And now, here's an example sentence. We'll probably go out tonight. We'll probably go out tonight. Did I say we'll go out tonight? No, I didn't. I said we'll probably go out tonight.
So there's a very good chance.
Very good chance, but I do not know for sure. Sure. For sure means con certeza, by the way. I don't know for sure. We'll probably go out tonight.
So how much of a percentage would you put on the probability of you going out? Would you say 80%? 90%?
I wouldn't try and put a figure on it. I don't think you can. It depends on the context. All I would teach my students is that with probably, it's more than 50%.
Okay.
Could be 51, could be 99. It's more than 50. If it's more than 50%, it's probable.
Okay.
If it's less than 50%, it's improbable. That's what I teach. So it's more than 50% chance. We'll probably go out tonight. However, I could also say, perhaps we'll go out tonight. Perhaps means it's possible. It's possible. Did you notice the position of the word perhaps?
Perhaps what you put at the beginning of the sentence.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps we'll go out tonight. But I put probably where?
Probably just before the verb.
The main verb.
The main verb, el verbo principal.
We'll probably go out tonight. That's the typical way to do it, yeah, the most common way. But it's not the only way. You can put probably at the end of a sentence. We'll go out tonight. Probably.
But then you'd put a comma, right?
You'd put a comma, yeah. And it's more common in spoken English, not so common in written English. Or, also less common, but you can, put probably as the first word as well. Probably we'll go out tonight. Again, in spoken English, but it's not typical in written English. The most common place is to put probably, and most of the adverbs ending in ly, probably, possibly, certainly, before the main verb. However, perhaps usually goes at the beginning.
Yeah,
perhaps
it's not. It doesn't sound correct to say will perhaps go out.
No, it's wrong. Yeah. You can't.
And the same with maybe.
But you can put perhaps at the end of the sentence. You can say we'll go out tonight, perhaps. Again, it's only really typical in spoken English. You wouldn't really write that. So it's best to generally put perhaps at the beginning. Same with maybe. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow. Very usually, maybe goes at the beginning of a sentence. But it can go at the end in informal spoken English. I'll see you tomorrow, maybe. However, maybe also can go before the main verb. You can say, I'll maybe see you tomorrow. That's fairly common. Maybe is quite flexible. So as you can see already, listeners, there's no fixed set rules. There's quite a lot of flexibility as regards the positioning of adverbs.
But we can say that maybe and perhaps usually come at the beginning of the sentence.
Usually.
The clause, but not always.
Yeah. If you're in any doubt, put them at the beginning. The other ones, think of them ending in ly, certainly, definitely, possibly, clearly, obviously, probably, the ones ending ly, ly, they generally go just before the main verb. For example, Craig certainly knows how to make a good cup of coffee.
Or another example, Reza and Craig will possibly become famous because of this podcast.
Possibly? Don't you mean probably?
No, I mean definitely. So we have the modal verb will, the auxiliary modal verb will, and become as the main verb. So you just put possibly before the main verb. Craig and Reza will possibly, or will definitely, or will absolutely become famous because of this podcast.
Mm-hmm. So when you say possibly, you can't really say if it's more or less than 50%. Could be either. You're not sure. When you say probably, it's more than 50%. And when you say definitely, it's 100%.
But is there a change with the verb to be? For example, if you have the auxiliary verb am, is, are, was, were, etc. What happens then?
Yes. Not only with these adverbs, but with all adverbs then. For example, adverbs of frequency are the same, like often, sometimes, etc. Generally, you then put it in a different position. Craig is certainly one of the best English teachers I've ever known. We this time put certainly after the verb to be. As I say, you do the same with adverbs of frequency. For example, Reza is often asleep at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Is that true?
It is, yes. At the weekend. Having a little siesta. So adverbs of probability and other adverbs go after the verb to be, but they go before other verbs, usually.
Reza was obviously very happy to get back to Valencia after the summer. Is that true?
It's true. So you put the verb to be was, and then you put definitely, did you say?
I said Reza was obviously very happy.
Beg your pardon.
To get back here after the summer
you
in Belfast.
Afterwards, yeah. What about this? What about when it's a question, Craig? Will you definitely pay for lunch tomorrow?
It's the same. It's before the main verb. And no, I won't.
Aha.
I'm definitely getting hungry. I think it's nearly time for lunch. Are you hungry?
I am, actually.
I am definitely getting hungry. The same. You have the auxiliary verb, the main verb, getting. So just put definitely before the main verb.
And it is clearly going to be a very good meal from the smell coming from the kitchen. It is clearly, that means the evidence makes it 100% clear. That's about all I have to say, really, about adverbs of probability. Can you think of anything else?
I think you've probably covered it. Moving on to vocabulary, and in this episode I'd like to speak about words connected to the home, particularly housework. Now, we spoke about the furniture and things in a house or in a home. That was episode 35. But this week I'd like to concentrate more on housework. For example, there is some confusion with verbs like to sweep and to mop and to clean, for example.
Oh, yeah.
The first thing, what do you sweep with? Well, to sweep is barrer in Spanish. And I hope I've rolled my R's correctly. Mm-hmm. Barrer. How's that? Is that okay?
Sounds good to me.
Someone wrote and said that it's quite funny when I try to pronounce two R's together. Barrer. There you go, Marianne, for your comment.
Craig, you need to get your R's in gear. Sorry about that. Can we even translate that? I don't know.
Maybe I'll have to beep that out. Yeah. But anyway, so that's to sweep. So you sweep the floor. That's
so sweep is dry, no water.
Sweep is dry. And what do you sweep with?
Broom.
A broom. B-R-O-O-M, which is a scobber in Spanish. So you sweep the floor with a broom. However, if you're using water and soap, you would use a fregona, which in English is...
a mop.
A mop, which is also a verb. So you have the noun, a mop. You use a mop to mop the floor.
With water. So mop is with water, right?
Mop is with water, and broom, and to sweep, no water.
Okay. And what about to clean, then?
Clean is more generic. Clean is a general term, because if you're sweeping, you're cleaning. If you're mopping, you're cleaning. So to clean or do the cleaning is the general term.
Or it could mean just using your hand, like to take dust off things. That could be clean as well, yeah?
Yeah, but there's also a specific verb to dust. So clean is very generic. You can clean the house, you can clean your car, you can clean your glasses. So it's when you get specific, that's when these verbs and nouns come in handy. They're very useful.
So when you do the cleaning, that would also involve... hoovering.
That's right. Hoovering.
To hoover.
Or vacuuming. Mm-hmm. To vacuum.
Or vacuum cleaning.
Or vacuum cleaning.
Can you spell vacuum?
V-A-C-W-M. Not W-O-B-E-U-M.
That's a word which is often misspelled, isn't it?
Vacuum. It's V-A-C-U-U-M. Strange spelling.
Why have we got this word Hoover in English, do you know?
Because it's the brand name of the company that made, very successfully, that made vacuum cleaners. So vacuum cleaner is the generic word, but Hoover is the company that's been included into the language as a verb and a noun.
A bit like to Google.
Yes.
Which has become a verb, but it comes from the company Google.
That's right. Yeah. Or...
To tip X out,
yeah.
Really, it should be to apply correcting fluid, but that's too many words, so we just say to tip X.
Yeah. Kleenex.
Yep.
Pass me a Kleenex for tissue.
Yep.
Scotch tape.
Yep.
For sellotape. Mm-hmm. There are many. To wash the dishes, fregar los platos. To wash the dishes is another housework expression.
I can say it without mentioning dishes, can't I?
To wash up.
Aha. Uh-huh. If I apply the preposition up, then the phrasal verb means wash dishes, right? It's not the same as to wash, is it?
No.
If I say to wash in English, what am I washing?
Wash your face, wash your body.
Right.
Yeah, wash yourself.
Wash the car even, could be. But well, not the dishes.
You'd have an object, I think. If you say I'm going for a wash,
okay.
I'm going to wash, then I would assume you're speaking about you. Mm-hmm. But if you have an object, wash the car, wash the windows.
Ah, okay. So you're saying when it's without an object, you presume it's yourself.
Yeah.
I'm going to wash.
Well, I would use the noun. I'd say I'm going to have a wash.
Uh-huh. Or you could also say I'm going to get washed.
Or get washed. Yeah. I'm going to get washed. Exactly.
What about to do the washing?
To do the washing, clothes.
Mm-hmm. So to do the washing up is dishes. And to do the washing is clothes.
So you've changed washing to wash up from a verb to a noun.
Yeah.
With using the verb do. And most things in the house you do. You do the washing up, you do the cleaning, do the vacuuming, do the dishes. There's one thing in the house that you don't do, and I think we've spoken about this before.
What's that?
The bed.
Aha, make the bed.
Yeah, you make the bed. You do the shopping, do the cleaning, but you make the bed.
What's your least favourite household task?
Ironing.
Me too.
I hate doing the ironing.
Me too.
La plancha. I hate to iron. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hate it.
Do you like cooking?
Not really. No. I'm not a big fan of cooking. I like eating.
Uh-huh.
I don't like cooking very much. You like cooking. You're a big fan of
food. I do, yeah. When
you're also
a
very good cook. You cook very well.
I don't know. I'm not half as good a cook as Angeles.
No.
I wish I was. I wish I was.
You do cook up some good meals. Whenever I've come around to your place, we've had some lovely meals.
From time to time. I must have you round soon.
Let's look at one or two more before we say goodbye. To wash the dishes, we've said. Lavavajillas or lavaplatos.
A dishwasher.
Yeah, a dishwasher. And lavadora.
A washing machine.
Yeah, those are sometimes confused. A dishwasher for the dishes and the cups and the plates, and a washing machine for your clothes. And finally, guantes de goma.
Rubber gloves.
Yes, rubber gloves.
Mm-hmm. There's another thing you can use for doing cleaning around the house. You can use a feather duster. Now, what's that?
We've got a feather duster.
Me too.
To dust is quitar el polvo, and we use a feather duster to dust the flat. It's a stick with feathers on the top, and you can go around the shelves and the books and the bookcases and the pictures, and just with the feathers very lightly take off the dust. Do you use a feather duster?
I do. It's very useful for dusting things when you can't be bothered. You don't want to make the effort of moving them, and yet you don't want to knock them over. A feather duster is so delicate that you can kind of work around it without moving it, right?
That's right. It's a kind of excuse for actually doing it properly.
And you can even get some feather dusters, some fancy modern ones, which remove static.
Yes. Yeah, they do.
So the dust doesn't come back again for a while.
Yeah.
Anti-static feather dusters. They're a great invention.
Do you think it's strange that two guys together are not speaking about cars and football? We're speaking about cooking and feather dusters.
Well, Craig, yeah. We have to be in touch with our...
with our feminine
side. We're modern guys, you know. I said guys, by the way. That's G-U-Y-S. We're modern guys. We, you know, have to do the housework, that type of thing.
Yeah, we have to do the cooking and the shopping. We have to wash our clothes and do the ironing.
But we'd rather not do the ironing.
We'd rather be playing football, I'm sure. Yeah. Moving on to pronunciation, and we have some more words this week that may cause problems for Spanish speakers. In particular, rice, arroz, raise, levantar, race, carrera. I didn't say that very well, did I? Carrera.
Ah, the rolling R's.
You try it, Reza.
Carrera.
Yeah, you've got those R's very well.
Maybe it's because of what I keep going on about, that in Ireland we make more R sound. Maybe that's why we find it easier.
Yeah, perhaps. So those three words, rice, raise, and race. The differences are in the vowel sound. Now, rice is the sound I, as in my or by or tie. Raise is A, the same sound as my name, Craig, or day, or say. And race is the same sound. So rice, raise, and race. Now, the difference between raise and race is in the C or the S sound. If you listen to levantar, raise, it's vibration again in the throat, garganta. And we spoke about this in the last episode, episode 36. You can put your hand on your throat with raise, and you can feel the zzz, Zzz, you can feel the vibration.
Raise.
And race is only from the mouth through the teeth, por los dientes, with no vibration in the throat. Listen, raise, and race. To run a race and to raise my salary. And one more word which we should mention is rise, which is similar to raise, but Reza, the difference? Can you explain?
Pretty much, I think I can simplify it to raise, you said levantar, and rise, levantarse, reflexive.
Right. So rise does not, R-I-S-E, rise does not have an object. So you'd say the sun rises, it's intransitive. The sun rises every morning, but raise has an object. To raise your salary or to raise the table, to lift up the table is to raise. You must raise something. And rise. And the vowel sound, A, my name, Craig, or say, is raise, levantar. And rise, I, is the same sound as in rice, arroz. I, like my, high, by, etc. So let's repeat the words one more time.
But again,
yes,
the difference is between rice, arroz, and rise, levantarse, is the final z or s sound.
Exactly. So rice, arroz, is from the teeth, from the mouth, with no vibration. And rise, the sun rises, has vibration from the vocal cords. So let's repeat these one more time. Rice, arroz. Rise, levantarse. Raise, levantar. And race, carrera.
Or raza.
Absolutely, yeah.
The Spanish race.
The human race, yeah. Okay, anything else, Reza, before we say goodbye to our lovely listeners?
No, that's just about it for this week.
I think it's a wrap. So send us an email if you have time, or a sound file if you have more time, to either myself at craig@inglespodcast.com or to Reza at belfastreza@gmail.com. And if you do write to us, we would be very pleased to find out from you two things. How did you find our show, Inglés Podcast? And also, what would you like us to talk about in the future, in future episodes? So you can get in touch with us through the webpage or by writing to those two email addresses. And you can find the show notes and more podcasts at our webpage, inglespodcast.com. And you can study free English at mansioningles.com. So until next episode, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me as well.
Goodbye.
Bye.
And thanks for listening.
You can now leave us a voice message on the homepage at inglespodcast.com. Just click the orange button and leave your message, which should be no longer than 90 seconds.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later, licensed by Creative Commons under a by NC license at ccmixter.org.